Leave No Tracks. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Leave no tracks. Indians, the American Indians, were raised from children up to leave no tracks wherever they went. They would live on the land of the American continent, and they would leave small evidence of their having been there. In fact, the evidence would be so small, no one could tell that they had not even been there. The children were trained from childhood on to do this. They lived in very primitive circumstances, according to what we think of today, but yet they were very, very wonderful in their own way, in their own time. They didn't wear much clothing. They wore a loincloth, or they carried a blanket, and they lived in a tent, and they lived in a cave. They lived wherever circumstances provided a place for them to live. And they had their fire, and they lived previous to their food gathering area, previous to their agricultural activities. They were out as food gatherers, going out looking for plants and looking for other things that they were to eat, and for animals that they were to bring home as dinner. Now, the little children were taught to go out and hunt. Now, the little boys would go out and they would hunt in the fields. They would look around for the plants that their mothers taught them to find. Plants that were beneficial to their diet, plants that were healing plants, plants that were good plants, that were happy plants for them. And they would bring these plants home. Their mother would take them out in the forest and show them which plants were which. And barefoot and basically naked, they went out into the forest. And they were taught never to break a stick with their foot, always to be so careful of where they put their feet that they left no track of their having been there, so that some predator animal that might be around would not know where to find them, because he did not find their track. Other animals, as they go lumbering through the forest, they leave all sorts of tracks, and we use that to track them. So we track the bears, we track the lions, we track the deer, we track the coyotes, we track all sorts of creatures by their trail. And we know they've been here. We know they've been here by their droppings. Well, now the Indian boys were trained not to let anyone know they were there by their droppings. They would dig a hole in the dirt with their hands or with a stick, and they would dig it at least 2 or 3 inches deep, and they would urinate into that hole so that their urination would not be detected by a predator. And when they defecated, they would dig another hole, and they would defecate into that hole. And they would cover it up, smooth it over, and put leaves on top of it, just as though they had never dug the hole in the first place. And as they walked through the forest, they learned to tell every plant, every seedling, everything that was beneficial to them. And they learned how to snare a rabbit. They learned how to bring home rabbits. And they learned how to bring home perhaps some even larger creatures. But it had to be a later time, when they were taken out by their fathers, that they were taught how to bring home a deer or bring home a bear. They were taught to use their knife and go after these larger critters. But always in their early years, they were taught to leave no track. And because they were taught to leave no track, they were able to survive in a very primitive and a very difficult culture. But they survived not only lovingly and wonderfully, but beautifully. They survived because they didn't worship the country, but they respected the country. And they respected themselves. And they learned how to walk as though their footsteps had never touched the ground, as though they were beings of magic that could move along and leave no track at all. And they indeed left no track at all. From their small bare feet to their moccasin feet later as they grew into older boys, they always were very careful, always very careful. And they were primitively careful, but they were very careful, and the predator animals seldom found them. But as the boys were training, they would go with their older brothers. First, they'd go with their mother, and their mother would teach them these things, and their mother would always teach the younger boys these things, to look for plants that were beneficial, to look for animals and how to catch them, how to track them. It was not their fathers, but it was the mothers, because the mothers taught them how to leave no track. And this they did into adulthood. The fathers left no tracks whenever they walked. The mothers left no tracks whenever they walked. They walked in a deep, dedicated silence. They would go through the forest in a happy, happy time. And they would learn how to make the sounds of the various animals and what the sounds of the various animals were. And they would learn how to make the mating call of animals so that the animal would come near them and they could capture them. They learned how to make the sound of animals that were at peace with themselves so that they could be near the animal and the animal would not run from them or fight from them because the animal felt one with them. And they only took that which they could eat. They only took that which was necessary for immediate food. They did not have their freezers full of deer. They did not have the big bear that they had to find a place to store it. But when they did catch a bear, or they did catch a deer, they would bring this creature home, and they would first gut it, and then they would take off its skin, and the women would tan the skin, making it available for clothing or for whatever they wanted to use it, or blankets. And as they tanned the skin, they did it with their teeth, and they did it with their love. And the boys and the girls both were taught how to do this, how to prepare it, how to make the salty substance that kept the skin from disintegrating or from molding. They learned all these things, but the most important thing that they learned, which benefited them throughout their entire life, was to leave no track. They could go near human establishments when the white men came around, and they would not even be seen. They would not even be known. They were like invisible. They would hide themselves behind the trees, or they would be underneath the brush, or they would be in such a way that no one would even know they were there. Now, they did this only because anyone and anything in their world was a predator, something that might come after them. And they learned from childhood on, from their mother, how to live in their body in its most beautiful way. Now, they didn't have much clothing, if any, and as they went around, they had to acclimate themselves to the weather. In the territory where they lived, basically in the Midwest and in the North, it was cold. Many times it was cold. But the little boys were taught to sleep out of doors without a blanket and acclimate themselves to the temperatures, and prepare themselves so that they could live under any circumstances and not be injured or not be bothered by the temperature or by the weather. Now you say that's really quite impossible. Not really. Animals do that all the time. They acclimate themselves and they create about themselves a furry skin that takes care of this. And really, the furry skin is a very great benefit to the animals. They can sleep out of doors in a blizzard and not be frozen. Man, too, can sleep out of doors in a blizzard and not be frozen when he has trained his mind, because his mind is the thinking apparatus that he has. He trains his mind to be untouched by the weather, to say to itself, I am warm, I am cozy, I am surrounded by my own pure warmth, my own delightful warmth. And he can do it. Now, you know, man can dive into the ocean in Iceland and swim for a certain length of time before the water completely frosts him and destroys him. But if the man had trained himself to do this, not just accidentally, if he trained himself to do this, he would be able to swim in the frozen oceans, in the oceans that were freezing cold. The Indians living off the tip of South America lived like this. They would walk into the ocean and they would fish, and the ocean had icebergs floating in it. And in their with their naked bodies, they would go into the ocean and they would catch fish and they would bring them out. And the children would play in the water, in the frozen Iceland water. And they would have their deerskin, but their deerskin was not to cover their bodies. Their deerskin was used as a device, a pocket, to carry the food that they found and the beautiful plants that they found that were beneficial to them. It was more of a pocket than it was as clothing. Early explorers found the Tierra del Sol Indians of that nature, and perhaps to some degree they're still that way today. How could they train themselves to be in this frigid water and think of it just as going anyplace, not being touched by its coldness? How could they do that? The body is unable to do that, we think. And yet, they learn to leave no tracks. They learn to be themselves wherever they are. And the water did not faze them. The cold air, the freezing air, did not faze them. Even today, in the deserts of Africa, tribes of people live out in the nothingness, and they sleep out of doors, and they have no shelter, and they have no clothing, and they have... But, of course, there it's hot, you say. Yeah, well, that's true. It's hot during the day, extremely hot, hot enough to fry an egg on a stone, and yet, at night, it gets freezing cold. And they have no blankets. And they acclimate themselves to this because they train themselves to this to leave no track. And they leave no track. And they run and they fly and they move along. And they know how to put their feet down so their feet do not leave a track. The children know how to be in places where animals that are deleterious to them live, where their predator animals live. And all animals basically are predators because they are looking for something to eat. And just like man is a predator looking for something to eat, and man is a predator to the animals. But man does not think of himself that way. Man only thinks of himself as a magical being. Man only thinks of himself, if I am in the cold, I will be warm. If I am in the warmth, I will be moderate or cool. If I am in the cold water, I will be warm. If I am in the warm water, I will be cool. Now, how can you leave no track? How can you live in an environment that's hostile to the human body, that's hostile to the human being? How can we do that? Well, we're doing that all the time. And we have chosen to build houses. We have chosen to build fortresses. We have chosen to, in inclement areas, we wear clothing that protects our body or at least keeps the heat in more readily. But in the process, we are not learning to let the heat stay in mentally, as the early Indians had done, as the tribes in Tierra del Sol do, as the Eskimos do. They learn to keep the heat in. Oh, true, the Eskimos wear these hides and these skins. But the Eskimos didn't always have it that way. The Eskimo had to go out and capture these critters to make them into clothing for himself. And in the process of doing that, he had to be able to tolerate extremely cold weather. He had to be able to tolerate extremely cold weather. And you know that explorers today in the Antarctic and the Arctic go out with their faces open to the wind, with their eyes open to the wind. And we see penguins and we see other creatures that are able to swim in the coldest waters and their eyes are not disturbed by the coldest water. How magical this is. How magical we are. How wonderful we are if we would just really depend and demand of ourselves that it is so. And how do we demand of ourselves that it is so? We demand with the simple statement, I am comfortable, I am warm, I am peaceful. I leave no tracks. I do not place myself in harm's way. I am beneficial to myself in every thought I think and everything I do. I go out and I learn the plants of the forest that are beneficial to me, the plants of the fields and the prairies. I go out and I learn how to bring animals into my life that I can use their skins or that I can use their meat, that I can use these things. Early Indians were more vegetarian than they were interested in eating the meat of animals. They're probably the more true vegetarians that ever lived, and yet they lived in healthy bodies. The bodies of the early peoples were healthier than the later peoples because animals had diseases. Animals had limitations in their own bodies. Animals were animals. And the shell of an animal is really not designed for man to eat. Man is designed to be a vegetarian. He's designed to eat the fruits of the trees and the nuts and the plants on the ground. He's designed to eat that. I'm not suggesting that we change our pattern of eating, our pattern of living, and our pattern of being, but should you want to be as magnificent as the early Indians were, should you want to be as the Indians in the African desert today are, or the Tierra del Sol Indians do, should you ever want to be able to take the harshness of the world, of the universe, of the environment, and not destroy it, not change it, but acclimate to it where it does not touch you? If you want to do that, you can. And many peoples do. Many people across the entire world do this. And as they do this, what do? They leave no tracks. We have very little evidence of the peoples, of the cultures living in times of prehistoric cataclysms, of times of prehistoric volcanic eruptions and things of that nature. People just disappeared because they were disintegrated. And only when a volcanic eruption happened and covered a city and the people were sort of mummified, then did we see what that culture was like then. But that culture was a later culture. That culture is a culture that was long since after the culture of I leave no tracks. because there, those cultures surely did leave tracks. They built houses. They built granaries. They built all of the things to know and to show the infinite world around them that indeed they do leave tracks. Do you and I want to be people who don't leave tracks? Do we want to live so silently, so peacefully, so harmoniously in our bodies, in our environment, that we are untouched by any bodily thing? We are untouched by any environmental thing? We can do that. Many people do that. We can do that. We're learning that all time and space are here and now, and there is no other place, there is no other time. It's just right now. We think, what use is that? Well, we will know. All time, which is a major consideration in all thinking, all time and place is here and now. And then we think, I am hot, I am cold. And we think, why am I hot and why am I cold? Because the environment is foisting upon me heat and cold. And I will not accept that voice from environment. I will not accept that gift from environment. I will be untouched by my environment. I'll be untouched by everything in my universe. I will go into the frigid waters of the ocean and be untouched. I will go into the mountain tops, and I will go through the deserts, and I will go through all of the environmental changes, and I will be untouched. I am the master of myself, of my body. And I'm the master of my body and my environment by my thought. Just as the mother Indians took their children out and trained the girls to find the herbs and the boys to find the animals and bring them in. Just as the boys were trained to protect the community and the girls were trained to prepare the activities of the community to make it into a hospitable home. Just as they were trained mentally to be undisturbed by things. And they knew that sometimes the boys didn't come home. An animal had found them or they had perished. But most of the time, they came home. And out of the attitude, not the genes and chromosomes and the livability of these boys and these girls, but out of their attitude of leaving no tracks, of being at peace with themselves, of fearing nothing because they left nothing in the pathway to be a danger to them. They left no tracks, and we can do that today. Today we can live in any environment without an outer shell of clothing, without an outer shell of the housing, without an outer shell of something to change the environment. We can live in any environment, and we can be untouched by it. And the environment can be a blessing to us because we call it good and very good. And as we call this environment good and very good, so it is for us. As we call this world good and very good, so it is for us. We too, you and I, here in this 21st century, we can learn not to leave any tracks. We can learn to live in this world, and living in this world, we know all things. In this world, we know what is beneficial for us, but we know we don't need it. And when we have learned that essential lesson, that we need nothing, want nothing, and have everything, then we leave no tracks. Then we are invisible. Then we are living in our ideal spirit, mind, and body. And we are indeed the masters. And we indeed leave no tracks. Today, let's consider this as a possibility and say to ourselves, I leave no tracks. I am the allness, the isness. I am that I am. Know this for yourself now, as I know it for myself, as all thinking beings who take charge of their thought know it and enjoy it now and forevermore. Have a lovely day and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.